House rules number 3. Masters and slaves, employers and employees. As we come today to 1 Timothy and chapter 6, we must remember that Paul is teaching Pastor Timothy and us the house rules as they relate to the Christian church. This young pastor needs to know how to find qualified men to serve as elders and deacons in the church at Ephesus. He must know how to deal with false prophets and new Christians who know virtually nothing about the faith or how to relate to one another, to their spiritual leaders, to the government authorities, husband to wife, wife to husband, and so on. Brand new believers, brand new pastor. Today, Timothy finds out what he must teach believing slaves or employees and their masters or employers. He tells him how they must relate to one another since becoming followers of Christ. Brian, it seems to be just a touch warm in here, maybe a degree or two. Thank you. Now, slavery has been part of our society since the very beginning. At the time Paul and Timothy lived, it is thought that 60% or more of the people on earth were servants or slaves of other human beings. Much of the seasonal field work was done by hired day laborers who were looked upon as servants or slaves. And some of the references are there for your use later, and we'll look at some of them along the way. There were domestic slaves who served as house and estate managers. There were cooks and teachers of children who became part of the household and were sometimes considered part of a family. People became slaves in different ways. Some were prisoners of war who could be purchased and sold as property. Some people sold themselves into slavery to survive and care for their families. Some agreed to serve their debtors, to pay off debts they had no means to resolve in any other way. The Old Testament never outlawed these various kinds of slavery or servitude, but carefully guarded the rights of slaves, Jewish slaves in particular. For instance, they could not be held for more than 6 years unless they voluntarily chose to remain. Slaves who were abused by their masters were to be set free. Their religious rights, such as enjoying the Sabbath rest, were also protected in Exodus 20. The murder of a slave brought punishment. Foreign slaves seeking asylum in Israel were to be protected. Slaves had economic rights, including a right to own their own slaves. The nation of Israel even had state slaves similar to civil service employees. And so protected were they that an old English Jewish saying went out, whoever buys a Jewish slave buys himself a master. Isn't that interesting? Again, I point out that slavery of many kinds involved about 60% of the world's population. Now, for Jesus and the apostles to have called for slavery's immediate abolition would have been to promote widespread unemployment and social chaos that would have brought society to its knees. In addition, the saving message of the gospel would have been swallowed up in a storm of social reform. Eventually, the influence of Christianity did help bring an end to slavery in many parts of the world, and for that we are grateful and pray that where slavery is still active, that the gospel would be preached so the hearts of men and women would be changed. And so what instruction is Timothy to give converted slave owners and slaves? Here they are in the pews, as it were, side by side, having been converted to Christianity. And so the instruction goes like this. Paul says to this young pastor, all who are under the yoke as slaves, that is, servants by force, by choice, or necessity of some kind, are to regard their own masters as worthy of all honor, so that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken of or spoken against. He said, this is what you Christian slaves are to do. You are to honor your masters in such a way that they will not look at you and say, if that's what this Christian stuff is all about, it's worthless, and this guy's worse than he was before he was supposedly saved. Behave yourselves in the midst of your bondage. Mercy. I don't know if I want to hear the rest of this or not. So that the name of God and our doctrine will not be spoken against. Verse 2, those who have believers as their masters, that is, slave owners or employers who have come to faith in Christ, must not be disrespectful to them because they are brethren. That might go something like this. Didn't you hear the preacher Sunday? He said, there is neither slave nor free man. All are equal in the Lord. Who do you think you are giving me orders? We kind of like that fake concept of freedom, but it doesn't exist. There's always somebody in authority over us. Always. God, to be sure. Rather than be disrespectful, you must serve them all the more because those who partake of the benefit, that is salvation by faith in Christ, are believers and beloved, whether slaves or masters. And he says to this young man whose mouth might be hanging open, teach and preach these principles. That's quite an assignment. Go back to your congregation, tell them to quit their whining, and take their place. This ancient instruction is also applicable to Christian employees and employers in every age. Those of us who work for an employer are slaves to them for an agreed upon time each day. We have, in effect, sold our intelligence, our skills, strength, and time to them, and we are theirs. I remember my shock one time when God had allowed me to think up a new tool to rebuild crushers and rock crushers in the crusher there out at Pinto Valley, and it saved a ton of time and a ton of money. And then I was told, you can't sell this. It's not yours. It's ours. We own everything you are while you are here. And so, when we work for an employer, we've got to understand this, that we have sold our intelligence, skills, strength, and time to them, and we are theirs. We have the right to do as we're told and not as we please. They are our masters for a time. The ancient slaves had it worse than we do as employees, of course, and yet they were commanded by God to, number one, honor their masters or employers so that those who had authority over them would have no reason to speak ill of Christianity or of Christ. They were to behave in such a way that would bring honor to their Savior and prove their claim to be His followers. Secondly, if their master happened to be a Christian, they must honor and respect him all the more because he was a brother by faith in Jesus, a fellow partaker of the salvation purchased by the death, burial, and resurrection of the Son of God. And Timothy was commanded to teach these things to his congregation, and they were required to listen and respond accordingly. There's more information in Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 5 through 9. And it also has to do with the subject of slavery or having masters or employers who own us for a time because of the wages they pay and so on. Ephesians 6:5 says this, slaves, be obedient to those who are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling in the sincerity of your heart. Boy, let's just mark that out. Huh? my sincerity of heart. I do this stuff from the heart. I want to do this. I have the benefit of this company in mind, and I'm here to help make their stock go up, and on and on. Is that what we're to think? Well, it kind of says that to me. Obey your human masters loyally and with a proper sense of respect and responsibility as services rendered to Christ. Not by way of eye service or as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ. I know some of you men work in the mines, perhaps some of you ladies did too. And I also know what a hiding place is. None of you ever knew about that, or knew where they were, or took advantage of those dark spots where no one could see if they passed by, so you could earn your money doing nothing, and you would come out when the bell rang, and maybe smear some dirt on your face, or whatever, so it looked like you did something. This instruction transformed and destroyed my life when I was first converted. Mercy. I read it again and again, and I looked at its side. You can't, it just says what it says. Not by way of eye service, as men pleasers, but as slaves of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart, with goodwill, render service as to the Lord. There's the key. You got a stupid boss. You got a jerk. You're working for somebody and they're just awful. You're not working for them. You're working for the Lord. You gotta look past the idiot. As to the Lord and not to men. Knowing that whatever good thing each one of us does, this he will receive back from the Lord, whether slave or free. Verse 9. And masters, now here's the guy, here's the instruction to the guy sitting in the pews just been converted and was hoping I would say, you know, or that God would say, dump that guy. You don't have to be there anymore. No, he says, go back and behave yourself. Be better than you were before. And now, the master. And masters, do the same things to them. And give up threatening. Give up your jerkiness. Knowing that both their master and yours is in heaven and there is no partiality with him. There it is. The Phillips translation helped me, and I think it might help you as well. I'll read these same verses from that translation. Ephesians 6:5. Obey your human masters loyally with a proper sense of respect and responsibility as service rendered to Christ. Not only working when you are being watched as if looking for human approval, but as servants of Christ, conscientiously doing what you believe to be the will of God, whether anyone is watching or not. Verse 7, work cheerfully as if it were for the Lord and not for man. We've got to do that a lot. You know, Shirley has to love me because God said so. She doesn't have to try to find something lovable. God says, you love your husband, and he says to me, you love your wife, and care for her as Christ cared for the church. Whether she's ornery or not, the buck stops with my Father. This is what he says. Work cheerfully as if it were for the Lord, because it is not for man. You may be sure that the Lord will reward each man for good work, irrespectively of whether he be slave or free. Verse 9. And as for you, that is Christian employers, act toward those who serve you in the same way. Do not threaten them, but remember that both you and they have the same Lord in heaven who makes no distinction between master and man. And yet there is a distinction, isn't there? There are people in authority over all of us. And of course, God is in authority over everyone in authority. A little confusing once in a while when you think of things like our president and other political issues and national and global issues that are going on. But we know God's in charge, and it's being worked out for His glory and our good. And there we rest. and there we rest. And then there's another one. 1 Peter 2:18 through 20. Servants, that is slaves or employees, be submissive to your masters, those who have authority over you, with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. Years ago, when I had a secular job, I had some of the greatest bosses you ever saw. And then she showed up. She was a hatchet person sent by corporate. She fired and fired people and ruined lives and went on and on. And then she came after me. And I didn't get fired, but I was demoted and my salary was cut to the point it caused a great deal of problems for us. And she was thrilled. She asked me one time, she says, "What do people say about you?" I said, "They hate your guts." And she jumped back and I said, you ask and I got to tell you, they don't like you. There's not a person here likes you. And it seemed to please her. It's exactly what she was interested in. Oh, I'm doing my work. I'm doing what I was sent to do. At any rate, submit to your masters with all respect, not only to those who are good and gentle, but also to those who are unreasonable. For this finds favor, if for the sake of conscience toward God. This pleases God when you continue to obey and honor Him, even when your human master is unreasonable. God is pleased when a man bears up under sorrows, when suffering unjustly, for what credit is there if when you sin are harshly treated, you endure it with patience. But if when you do what is right, my thumbs don't work so hot, you remain the best employee you can be and suffer for it, you patiently endure it. This finds favor with God. If you're the jerk and you're being called out by your supervisor and punished by your supervisor, then what do you got to complain about? But if you're doing what is right and you continue to do what's right while you're under the pressure of some insistent, nasty person, that brings credit from the Lord. And so we always have to keep our eyes on Him. You've heard me say, and it's safe because Shirley knows I do this. She's a safe illustration for me. The rest of you might get mad at me, but she knows it's coming. If we still loved one another after 50 years because we were lovely, we'd be, I don't know what we'd be, insane maybe, I don't know. It just couldn't be. We wouldn't have lasted past our first child if it weren't for the grace of God. If it weren't for the fact that we learned, I love her because He says so, and she loves me because He says so, and He says so every day, all the time, for as long as we live and breathe. Therefore, we lock our hubs and plow through the rough days by the grace of God under the command of God. And we stay put. And believe me, she's had her hubs locked more than I have. She's got a big job. Yeah. All right. She suffers patiently. So, what can you do when employed or enslaved by an oppressive employer or master? Well, thank God the Scripture deals with that too. 1 Corinthians 7:21. 1 Corinthians 7:21. I knew that was here, but I had a little trouble finding it, and I got in kind of a panic. So, well, my goodness, like we can't just beat people to death without some glow of light and joy. And here it is. God let me find it. What can you do when employed or enslaved by an oppressive employer or master? 1 Corinthians 7:21. Were you called to faith in Christ while a slave? Do not worry about it, but if you are able also to become free, rather do that. You can go away if you wish. If you can do that, if you have an oppressive employer and are able to leave, you're free to do so. If for whatever reason you can't leave, that's okay too. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. We're going to talk about that freedom in just a few minutes. It's magnificent. The freedom that we enjoy. Freedom from our former slave master. For he who was called in the Lord while a slave is the Lord's freedman. Likewise, he who was called while free is Christ's slave. Because you've been redeemed, you were bought with a price. Do not become slaves of men. Don't return to the world's way of thinking and acting. You belong to Christ. Verse 24. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition which he was called. That was a hard message to deliver to the church. But he was told, preach these things to your people. I've got to stay here. Remember what he said to the woman, the Christian woman married to an unbelieving husband? You remember that? He says, well, if I'm married to an unbeliever, can I leave? He says, no. You stay there and you love them as I've told you to love your wife or your husband. If perhaps God will use your testimony to save them from their sin as well. If they want to leave, let them go. But if not, then you stay and do your best. I have met people who lived in absolute horrific situations because of that text. Not physical abuse, but other things. And they just stayed and loved that person until they were gone. But that's the instruction. Brethren, each one is to remain with God in that condition in which he was called. MacArthur's comment on this text reads like this. Discontent was prevalent among the new believers in the Corinthian church. Some wanted to change their marital status. Some were slaves who wanted to be free. And some used their freedom in Christ to rationalize sin. We've never done any of that. In a general response to that, this passage plainly repeats the basic principle that Christians should willingly accept the marital condition and social situation into which God has placed them and be content to serve Him there until He chooses to resolve it, until He leads elsewhere. Amen. Let's take our remaining time to talk about another kind of slavery to which every person on earth is involved and subject to. Could be disturbing, could be new to you, or maybe it's old hat. At any rate, you and I, along with every person on earth, came forth from our mother's womb as slaves of sin, self, and the devil. Here we sit in Globe, Arizona, in America, free as free can be. But we are not free. Every human here is enslaved to someone and something. You're either enslaved to God and righteousness, or to sin, self, and the devil. And you need to be set free. Further, mankind will remain a slave to sin and Satan unless they change masters to become slaves of righteousness and of God by faith in Christ. Here's an example of Jesus teaching this very truth to his fellow Jews. Look at John chapter 8, verses beginning with verse 38. John 8 and verse 38. And he says this, I speak the things which I have seen. This is Christ speaking. I speak the things which I have seen with my Father. Therefore, you also do the things which you heard from your Father. And they answered him. This is the Jews replying. And they said to him, Abraham is our father. He was their blood ancestor. And Jesus said to them, If you are Abraham's children, do the deeds of Abraham. But as it is, you're seeking to kill me, a man who has told you the truth, which I heard from God. This Abraham did not do. You're doing the deeds of your father. And they said to him, we weren't born of fornication. We have one father, and it is God. And Jesus said to them, if God was your father, you would love me. You want to know if your friends and acquaintances are Christians? This is a pretty good test right here. Do you love the Lord Jesus? Do you love the people of God? Do you love His Word? Are you anxious for the Lord's day so you can gather with His people? Jesus said to them, if God were your Father, you would love me, for I proceeded forth and have come from God, and I have not even come on my own initiative, but God sent me. Verse 43, why do you not understand what I am saying? It's because you cannot hear my word, because you are of your father, the devil. And therefore, you want to do the desires of your father, the devil. He was a murderer from the beginning. And you want to murder me as well. Like father, like son. Fallen men and women live in sin, in disobedience to God, because it is their nature to do so. The little saying, like father, like son, is applicable here. If God is our Father, we will love His Son, Jesus Christ. We will love Him and obey His Word. But we cannot love the Lord Jesus while children and slaves of the devil. We must be set free to become slaves of God, which is something we cannot do for ourselves. God must intervene, which He did by sending Jesus to set us free from Satan's rule. One of the most favorite texts to me is 2 Timothy 2:24. Listen to Paul's words there, where he's telling Timothy to patiently teach and preach the good news of salvation by faith in Christ. We have a grandchild that lives with us, and we love him to death. He's delightful. But he has reminded me of something that I had kind of forgotten. When we had children, you had to tell them the same thing over and over and over and over and over. And each time it was as if they had never heard it before in their entire lives. Really? Really? You told me that. Yes. Yes, I told you that. Now do it. Excuse me, Grandpa. What was it you said? Almost immediately, folks. You know that, don't you? Have you raised children or grandchildren? Well, he's telling Timothy, in order to do this, in order to be the pastor and to teach them all that Christ commanded you through me, you need to be a patient person. Must not be quarrelsome, but be kind to all, able to teach, patient when wronged, with gentleness correcting those who are in opposition to your teaching, to biblical teaching, if perhaps or because God may grant them repentance leading to the knowledge of the truth. Not on your timetable, but on His. Verse 26, and they may come to their senses. I said the other day, I said, people outside of Christ are crazy. They're out of their minds. It's only when you're saved that you come to your senses and you see yourself as the Bible says you are, and you see Jesus as your only hope of heaven. That's a man in his right mind. And only God can do that. Do you see it here? That God may grant them repentance. It's a gift. Leading to the knowledge of the truth. You can add faith to that. It's a gift. Verse 26, and they may come to their senses, repent and believe in Jesus and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. Oh, does that bother us? Boy, it bothered the Jews. They squealed with joy when the nails were being driven in that false prophet's body. Telling us our father's the devil and that we're slaves of our father. And he says to Timothy, you preach the gospel and you preach these things that I am teaching you and you keep it up and you be gentle and you be patient and continue year after year, and God may just grant some of these people repentance, knowledge of the truth, belief in the gospel, so that they can come to their senses and escape from the snare of the devil, having been held captive by him to do his will. That's who I was. That's who you were. before you came to Christ, the slave of sin, self, and Satan. We humans like to speak of free will, but the Bible tells us there's no such thing. There are two situations for humans on earth. We are either slaves of the devil and sin or slaves of God and righteousness. There is no fence to ride. There is no gray area to hide in. You are one or the other, a servant of the evil one or a servant of God. There is no in between. Let me read one last text in support of this truth. Romans 6, beginning with verse 16. Paul is speaking to Christians and he says, "Do you not know?" You ought to know that when you present yourselves to someone as slaves for obedience, you are slaves of the one whom you obey, either of sin resulting in death and eternal judgment, of course, or of obedience resulting in righteousness and eternal life. Verse 17. "But thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin." How insulting to we Americans. I used to be a free willer myself till I read my Bible and it just made me mad. Are you serious? Yes, he's serious. You're either a slave of the devil or a slave of God. There is no in between. "Thanks be to God that though you were slaves of sin," I love that past tense language, "you became obedient from the heart." Which heart? The new heart that God gives to all who come to faith in Christ. "To that form of teaching to which you were committed, and having been freed from sin, self, and the devil, you became slaves of righteousness and of God." Out of the boiling pot of God's wrath and eternal judgment into the dessert dish of eternity in heaven with the Lord and the likes of you. Magnificent. "Having been freed from sin, self, and the devil, you became slaves of righteousness and of God." Now, I'm speaking in human terms. He's trying to make it so these feeble folks can understand and so we can understand. I'm speaking in human terms because of the weakness of your flesh. "For just as you presented your members as slaves to impurity and to lawlessness, resulting in further lawlessness, so now present your members as slaves to righteousness, resulting in sanctification." You want to grow in grace and knowledge? Submit yourself to God. Draw near to God. He'll draw near to you. Read His Word. Hang out with the people of God who are trying to do the same thing. "Become slaves of righteousness. For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness." Have you ever been so frustrated with someone outside of faith in Christ? Why do you keep doing that? You're going to go to jail. You're going to get a disease. You're going to lose your family. You're going to lose your job. What's the matter with you? Here's the diagnosis. We've been going over it. They're slaves to sin, self, and Satan. They must be set free, and only God can do that through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Free in regard to righteousness. Now, it's so different, isn't it? I used to live for sin, make plans for sin. The only reason I worked was so I could have money so that on my days off I could go sin up a storm and get a big headache the next morning and say, "Man, that was a good time." It's true, isn't it? And now I want nothing. Nothing to do with it. All that I have and all that I want is Christ. "For when you were slaves of sin, you were free in regard to righteousness. Therefore, what benefit were you deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed?" I'll tell you what benefit you were deriving. No benefit, but your sin and rebellion was piling up behind the dam of God's wrath. and your sins are being recorded, and wrath is increasing and increasing. And had you not been called by God and equipped to repent and believe, that dam would burst forth upon you for all eternity when you pass in this life. What benefit were you then deriving from the things of which you are now ashamed? For the outcome of those things is death. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, you see it? Now, wait a minute. I was just a slave of Satan. Yeah, that's what I said. There's only two places. Only two masters. You're the slave of sin, self, and the devil, or you're a slave of God, and there's no in between. There's no almost. But now, having been freed from sin and enslaved to God, hallelujah, amen, you derive your benefit resulting in sanctification. He's going to make me more and more like Jesus. And the outcome of it all, whether I suffer horrible disease or some foreign entity comes and rolls my head down the hill, it doesn't matter. God will make me like Jesus. The result of following Christ will result in sanctification. And the outcome, regardless of my earthly experience, will be eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, and that is eternal death, separation from God. But listen to these last few words. The free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Free gift. Free gift. Have you had enough? Have you had enough of the world? The uncertainties of it all? The knowledge that you can die any time. Your age is irrelevant. Your race is irrelevant. Your gender is irrelevant. Your days are appointed, and when the bell rings, you're gone. Which is why the Bible says today is the day of salvation. Heed the warning that God delivers today. There is no neutral ground. Humans are and always have been slaves of the devil or of God and His Christ. And I hope you're ready to change masters. If so, repent and cry out to Jesus. Receive the forgiveness He purchased for you on the cross. Be reconciled to God by faith in His beloved Son. Join His eternal family, and your soul will never die. Come on in. The water is fine. It's a wonderful place to be. In the loving arms of our God and Savior, Jesus Christ.